What kind of insurance is right for me? Am I covered properly? What is a personal umbrella? Can I rebuild my house if it burns? Welcome to Peace of Mind, the radio show that helps you navigate through the complexities of the world of insurance. Brought to you by Moore Insurance Services, Mountain Insurance in Murphy, and Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge. And now your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore.
Welcome to Peace of Mind. My name is Mark Moore. I'm here with my wife, Kathy Moore.
Hello.
Say hello as always. So today we're going to talk about things that people end up getting surprised about. We've had this show before, but people are astounded sometimes to find out what they're responsible for when it comes to what's called vicarious liability. And I can just think of several examples. One being your automobile. So if somebody's driving your vehicle, people are shocked to find out after the accident that you as the owner are getting sued even though somebody else was driving your vehicle.
Because you loan your car, you loan your insurance. That's how
correct.
It works.
So you would think that whoever is driving the car will be the one getting sued. They caused the accident, they drove the car, they caused the accident, they got the ticket. Why am I getting sued? Because all I did was just let them borrow my car. But the way that works is you are ended up responsible for a person driving your car. You're also responsible vicariously for a child or somebody that's, is in your care or is a minor. You're responsible for a job site. If you've worked on a job site somewhere and maybe you're a contractor and your electrician and the house burns and you find out later after the insurance has been paid by the coverage that's on the property, that now I'm getting sued by somebody's insurance company. So there's all kind of things out there that you're responsible for that you may not be aware of. Also, how about the tree claim?
Yeah, that's a big one.
This time of year, mm-hmm. we're having a lot of storms. We had a tornado. It was called is it F1 tornado, Kathy? What's it called? It happened in Peachtree mm-hmm. just recently. And you find out later that if my neighbor's tree fell on my house, I'm paying for this, not my neighbor. Mm-hmm. So these are things that people are just really shocked to find out about. The tree claim, somebody else driving your car, a child driving your car, all these things that you can get this pinned on you, even though you didn't really do anything wrong yourself, but now you're responsible for it.
The other one is about the trees, is that we've had people have, if it doesn't hit a structure, people don't get that either. So if your tree goes down and it doesn't hit your shed or your house or your car or your boat or something that's insured, and it's out in the middle of your yard, people think that, oh, that's covered. That's been a big thing, too, we've noticed, too. People, if it's not hitting a structure or a fence or something like that, it can be not covered, and that respects removal of it and all that. So keep that in mind, too.
But people are surprised.
Yeah, they're like,
find
what?
Out,
yeah.
And particularly like, now, wait a minute. My neighbor had a a tree that's dead, and it fell on my house. How am I paying for that? That should be my neighbor. They had the tree. They own the tree, not me. But the way the law works is that it's considered an act of God, and you end up paying for that yourself with your deductible.
The only way to avoid this situation with that, if you know your neighbor has a tree that's close to your home or it's not in good condition, it's a dead tree, how we've actually taken care of this situation before is if you've sent a certified letter to your neighbor stating that, hey, I feel this is going to be an issue if something were to happen, and to please remove the tree or please, trim the tree or what have you. You have to have it documented that you've had conversations or you've had actually asked them to do something with it and they didn't. Then that becomes another little different way to how to handle that when it comes to an actual claim too as well.
That's your only hope.
Yeah.
So if nothing's happened, if there's never been a dialogue, never been a letter, never been a notification that they've been put on notice that their tree's going to fall on your house and it falls, then you're paying for that.
Right.
The only hope you have is that, if you've notified your neighbor, then your neighbor failed to act.
Right.
Then they could be negligent for the tree falling on your house.
Right.
And that would be probably on their liability if they have a liability policy. Otherwise, you're going to be paying for this yourself.
Right.
And that's never good to find out when you find out that you know, I'm having to pay my deductible. I had a, you know, we have a commercial property. It's like always just something's happening. And we had a tree limb to fall off the top of one of our trees.
Mm-hmm.
And it fell on our tenant's vehicle. And, you know, I'm not responsible for that. I didn't know the tree had a dead limb in the very top of it. We didn't know.
But it wasn't a dead tree at all.
It was a live tree.
It was a live tree.
And so as soon as I found out this happened, I had a tree, one of my tree people come out, and he made sure there were no more dead limbs. In the meanwhile, our tenant filed a what's called a comprehensive claim on his auto insurance. And as a gesture of goodwill, even though I didn't have to, I paid his $500 deductible for him just because I thought that was be a good gesture. Because he had like a $3,500 damage on his vehicle.
Right.
So that's another example of, you know, finding out that, you know, you're responsible for something even though it wasn't your fault per se. I mean, it's not your fault that a tree fell on your house. It's not your fault that a windstorm happened. But that's why you have property insurance or homeowner's policy, dwelling fire policy that's going to cover you for that. Also, this time of year, we do have quite a bit of lightning this time of year.
We do.
We've had that. We had a house we insured caught on fire, and it's a total loss. It was, lightning started the fire, and our customer got out of the house, thank goodness, before it burned. But that was a total loss. And, you know, of course, I think people understand, you know, lightning is going to be covered. I can't think of any other that's going to be a covered loss on practically every insurance policy if you have a lightning. Also, people may be, I guess, surprised to find out that a power surge is not automatically covered. And we had one that was really bad years ago where, and I've talked about this before, I get a text, we're eating dinner at Mary Southern Grill and I get a text in saying we've had a power surge and it's gone into our house. It's got our garage door. It's got our refrigerator. It's got our TVs. It's got our well pump. Everything was basically fried in that house. And I was very thankful that we had it insured, in this case with Cincinnati Insurance, and they had a coverage on there for electrical disturbance, which is basically a power surge, and it was covered. That may not be the case for everybody.
Yeah, some carriers don't cover that.
You have to actually buy that coverage.
Or endorse the policy to cover that. So
Some policies don't automatically provide that. And that would be a surprise if I was a customer to find out I was not covered for that either. What other claims you think people are surprised about? How about the roof claim where maybe, here's one I always hate. So you go outside, you find shingles in your yard, look on your roof, and part of your roof is blown away. And the insurance adjuster comes out, and they're only wanting to pay for part of your roof because there's no damage to the rest of the roof, but you've got just part of your shingles blown off on part of your roof. Well, the problem with that is, who wants to have a roof that looks like a mismatch? Now, you've got old shingles here, and you got new shingles here. It doesn't match up, and the insurance carrier is only going to pay for the damage that was actually there. Mm-hmm. That's a surprise to find out.
People get upset about that, but there's nothing really as agents can do about that. I know cosmetically it doesn't look the best because it's different, but it's still, the other part of the roof is not damaged. So that becomes an issue that we see a lot with claims on that.
But you can buy an endorsement there for shingle, for matching roof surface materials.
Yes, you can. Some carriers will have that. So, yeah.
It's probably undersold. I mean, probably a lot of people don't have it. But that is a very surprise to find out they're only paying for part of my roof. And that's been an issue as well. What other things do you think that people are surprised about? Here's one that people get surprised about. It's when you've got some sort of dry rot or a slow dripping leak over time, a seepage where it's just rotted out maybe all around your bathtub and it was hidden, you didn't know about it. You file an insurance claim and it's not covered. That's been an issue that people are surprised about.
Right.
This is why people probably hate insurance, but it doesn't cover everything.
Right.
Insurance claim, typically what you see, it has to be what's called sudden and accidental. So if you have a, you know, washer and dryer, a pipe ruptures, it goes out into your floor, buckles the floor, that's going to be covered. Whereas maybe something that's hidden and been seeping for years and years is not going to be covered. People are surprised to find that out. I think it's a good measure to go ahead and file the claim anyway, because I had one last year I didn't think would be covered, and we filed the claim and threw it up against the wall, and it stuck. The insurance company decided to pay for it, which was good. So what other claims are people surprised about or upset about, Kathy? Can you think when they find out they're responsible or it's not covered, what do you think of any other claims that people are surprised?
We've hit on a lot of the different ones that you've already talked about. We find people don't get how it works, and they get upset with us. Having to do with a neighbor typically is a big one. Or if they let someone borrow their car and they didn't realize you loan your insurance, and some people don't get it too. If they also with that situation is you have to be able to. If you've given permission for them to drive your car as well, that's another whole thing. If they had taken your car without your permission, that would be different than if you have given them permission to do so. Or if they've given a vehicle for instance, like say someone had one of your family members had a accident, they wanted to borrow one of your cars, or they're driving your car, not just occasionally, it's happening all the time, then they really need to be listed on the policy.
That's right.
So that's one of the other things to keep
in mind.
We'll
come back after the break, and we're trying to avoid surprises for people and you know, things you might want to be aware of. So after the break, we'll talk some more about this. My name is Mark Moore with my wife, Kathy, and we're on WJRB Talk of the Mountains.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind, here to help you find out if you need more insurance. Once again, your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore with More Insurance.
Welcome back. This is Kathy Moore with my husband, Mark Moore, and we want to let you know where our offices are located. We have 5 locations. 3 of them are called More Insurance Services, Inc. We have one located in Blairsville, Georgia, across the street from Home Depot and across the way from the post office. They're located at the South State Bank building. We aren't part of the bank, but we are actually have a separate wing, and we are there to help with your insurance's needs in Blairsville. Then we have another location, which is in Hiawassee, Georgia, located on at 150 South Main Street, Suite C. We're in the Town Trace building there next to the hospital, the Red Brick building. Come by and see us there in Hiawassee as well for your insurance needs. Then our last location for More Insurance Services, Inc. is located in Hayesville, North Carolina at 157 Highway 64 West. We are next to United Community Bank. We're on the main drag. Come by and see us there for your insurance needs there in Hayesville. Our other location is called Mountain Insurance. It's located in Murphy, North Carolina. If you go down into Murphy, you'll go past the Arby's and the So Good restaurant on the left. We're right there on 64 as well in Murphy. Come by and see us in Murphy. And then our last location is called Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge, a division of More Insurance as well. It's located in Blue Ridge. We're between United Community Bank and Burger King there in Blue Ridge, and we like to help you with your insurance needs there. Also, you can check out all these podcasts, all of our shows on our website, which is at www.more-insurance.com. You can like us on Facebook. All of our websites are connected for all of our locations, so you can check us out there and also request a quote. We love to help you with your insurance needs.
Okay, so we're talking about bad surprises today. People find out, you know, what they're responsible for, what their policy doesn't cover. So we talked before the break about, you know, loaning your car. We beat this horse in the ground, but you're responsible for somebody driving your car.
Yes.
You're responsible for somebody that's a minor driving your car, or their actions they do. Even from a liability standpoint, you're responsible.
Mm-hmm.
You're responsible for a tree hitting your house, even though it's your neighbor's tree. Only one caveat is if you've put them on notice and they failed to act. Otherwise, you're responsible. You're paying for it. This gets very dicey and cumbersome when you have these situations that arise. Another one is you're responsible for anything over your limits of liability insurance. Mm-hmm. So if you're riding around in North Carolina, they're going to raise the liability limits, minimums in North Carolina, but you've got $30,000 of liability coverage in North Carolina, you've got $25,000 in Georgia. So if you cause an accident and you're a person that's carrying minimum limits, your insurance company is going to pay $25,000 and see you later.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it's going to be on you. People are surprised to find out that because they may have not thought about what their limits of liability were when they bought the policy.
I get a lot of things from customers saying, well, they can't take blood from a turnip. You know, I don't have anything, so it doesn't really matter. But they don't understand how it works. I mean, after that, after the insurance carrier defends you to that point, pays out to that limit, they're done. You have to provide your own counsel, get your own, you know, defense. You have to take over it from there, get your own attorney. And you have to then pay whatever is owed. If they come back on you, they can garnish your wages. They can put liens on your properties. They can do all sorts of different things, garnish your wages. Stuff like that can happen, and people don't realize it. And they say, well, I don't have anything. Well, you won't have anything going down further, too, if you don't take care of yourself responsibly.
You
there.
You may have an income.
Yeah.
You know, you have an income.
Yeah.
So I don't may not own anything, but you have future earning potentials, potentially.
Correct.
For a lot of people.
Correct. And people don't think that that can happen to them. But, you know, the whole point of insurance is to protect you, protect your family, and then, of course, you know, also avoid if something were to happen that you won't lose your home or won't lose your livelihood based off of something that's happened, which is hopefully an accident, you know. So it's something's happened and you have to be prepared for that.
Well, veering into the commercial world, you'd be surprised that you're responsible for potentially, you know, an employee that you've hired getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the law, people are going to say, well, the law says that I don't have to have workers' comp once I have three employees. But you still have the hassle of dealing with this. You're mm-hmm. going to have to, you know, when somebody gets hurt that you've hired, they're going to come with you with medical bills. Here, I'm hurt. It's your fault.
Right.
Pay my bills. And the best thing is have a workers' compensation in place.
Right.
You're responsible for the acts of a subcontractor. If you're a general contractor, if you hire somebody as a sub, your sub screws something up, well, guess what? Your sub's getting sued and you're getting sued. So right. that's another thing you got to be careful about. I knew of one business that hired, it was a, I wasn't involved in this. I just heard about the claim. It was a property management company that was hiring subcontractors to come in and make repairs to the houses as needed. Well, guess what? Somebody got hurt and it did go to court, and it happened to what I already knew would happen was they were responsible for this claim. So you've got, even though you may not have an employee, you're still responsible for subcontractors, and that's a surprise. Or maybe you're a contractor, like I said, mentioned earlier, you might be surprised to find out that after a house fire that all of a sudden you're getting sued by the insurance company that paid the claim for the house coming back on you saying you were responsible. I've seen that happen before too. It's called a subrogation. So there's so many things out there that can happen, but all this can be prevented by having the proper insurance policy. You know, if you're a contractor, you need to have a liability insurance policy. If you have employees or you have subs, you need to have a workers' compensation policy. There's a reason all these policies exist, and you don't want to find out the policy that you needed after the claim. You want to get this established before a claim happens. Also, if you're working in different states, it needs to be addressed, especially when it comes to workers' compensation. If you're going to the state of, say, Virginia, Kentucky, or wherever, your workers' compensation policy may not follow you at all, or it may, and if it does follow you, you've only got 30 days to report it, typically. So that's going to be something that needs to be addressed. And you don't want to find out later, but you're not covered for going into a state that you weren't authorized to, or had it established up front with your insurance carrier. So all these are bad surprises to find out. People are busy. People don't think about things. And a lot of times this happens after the fact when a situation has arisen. So what else, Kathy, can think about that people are surprised to find out about?
Well, I think a lot of people, especially when it comes to commercial insurance, because we live in such a close proximity to Georgia versus North Carolina, that they don't even think about, hey, I'm going to Hiawassee today, since it's only a couple, you know, minutes away, it's not a big deal. But we're looking at different states, and that's a big thing people don't realize too. For workers' comp purposes, always notify your carrier or your insurance agent if you're going to do business in another state. You need to have coverage, 3A coverage for that. People don't get it that, you know, if you were to cut your finger off in Georgia, you get benefits for that are different than the ones in North Carolina. And so you always want to make sure that you are communicating with your agent about where you're going and what you're doing, and make sure that we have the policies in place so you don't get fined or you don't have coverage for that person or your employee that's actually working for you, because their benefits are different in different states. Since we're so close to South Carolina, Georgia, North Carolina, and Tennessee right here, there's different benefits depending on which state something happens in.
So that's something to think about. You know, yes. If you're in the business, or even if you're an employee, it would be a good measure. And I think it might cause a red flag for your employer, but it'd be nice to know where you're working. Do they have workers' comp? Am I covered if I get hurt? Mm-hmm. Because I wouldn't want to work for a business that didn't have any coverage if I got hurt.
Right.
So that's something to think about as well.
You don't want to think about after the claim has actually happened. Oh no, they didn't have something there for me. And as from an employer perspective, if you have this in place, then you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry. You don't have to deal with that employee and through the medical bills and all the stuff that they have to go to. You have somebody that's going to handle that for you, and you're not having to figure out what you're going to do.
Okay, Kathy. So we kind of got today's show wrapped up, and today or next week we'll be back talking about other issues for the insurance. My name is Mark Moore with Kathy Moore on WJRB Talk of the Mountains.
Statements on this show as to policies and coverages and other content provide general information only, and no warranties are provided as to their accuracy. Listeners should consult with their licensed agent as to how these coverages pertain to their individual situation. Information provided on this show does not constitute professional advice. If you have insurance, legal, tax, or financial planning questions, you need to contact your qualified professional. All coverages are subject to the terms, conditions, and exclusions of the actual policy issued. Not all policies or coverages are available in every state.